So we are at our section two of the spiritual gifts, and we're going to dig a little bit more into the theology of spiritual gifts, what that looks like in our context today, and a little bit of what we hear in the Bible, in the New Testament particularly. And most of this content is coming directly from this source, from BibleStudyTools.com, and so just keep that in mind as we're going through and we're kind of elaborating on a lot of the content we found from this resource.
For sure. So we're kind of starting off with these four New Testament passages that really delineate specific gifts that God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, gives to His people. So we won't read through each of these because they are a little bit extensive. But starting with Romans 12, verses 3 through 8, this is kind of, you know, the body of Christ, the idea that all the spiritual gifts fit together in order
to benefit of the church and for Christ's body. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then 1 Corinthians 12.
Yes, each of those chapters is what they identified. Yeah. But then this is kind of an excerpt of that, kind of the similar idea, you know, of all the gifts working together.
And then Ephesians 4, 7 through 13 also continues to dig into it, and even the grace that comes in receiving these gifts. Mm-hmm. So again, all of that digs in there.
Yeah, and we just encourage you to read each of these kind of on your own and reflect to how it connects with the spiritual gifts. And then 1 Peter 4, verses 10 through 11, just really emphasizing that, you know, these gifts come from God's provisions, and that it's really a reflection of His power, you know, through His people.
Right. And there to Him be the glory and power forever and ever. And that's what these gifts are for, to glorify Him and yeah, praise be to God for them.
Mm-hmm.
So to kind of dig in, especially looking at, you know, we talked about how 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, but looking at 12, there is some theological principles that Paul really brings up. And so we're going to talk about those nine key principles. So the first one is the basic criteria for distinguishing that it's a spirit-gifted person and not an imposter of the faith, is whether they confess Jesus as Lord and as their Savior. And so, you know, as we kind of think about that criteria, it's important that, you know, when someone says they have gifts, that we're testing that their faith in God is very genuine and that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior.
Right, and as we mentioned last week, you know, sometimes I think there's a blurred line between maybe talents and spiritual gifts, and so this is really the defining quality of a spiritual gift, is that the person is a believer and that this has been entrusted in them through their faith. So the second one there, all the gifts originate from the triune God. So this, you know, again, this is something that's gifted to Christians, and it is nothing of our own. The third point, all Christians have at least one gift. So this implies that no one need wait for some post-conversion experience to be empowered for service, although it does not preclude God bestowing additional gifts on an individual subsequent to conversion. Gifts are the common upbuilding of the church. So that one's kind of rich there, but it is encouraging, you know, that everyone does have at least one gift.
Yeah, I think that's such an important point that, yeah, when we're saved, there is a gift that we're going to be able to use for the building up of the church. Mm-hmm. But I also love that point about, while you're serving God, He may bestow you with another gift.
Right.
And, you know, that's something we have to continually be open to and use that gift if that is bestowed to us.
Definitely. And so the fifth one there, that is a really great you know, continuation. There is diversity within unity. So although, you know, we are one body of Christ and we kind of have this common purpose.
There's so much diversity in our gifts.
Yeah, and even within each of the gifts, which we'll kind of go into next week, I think that they manifest differently within each of us, and depending on the combination of gifts each of us have, you know, they're lived out so differently, and that's really is what, you know, makes us a strong body.
And then point six is that the gifts are given as the Spirit determines, and one may seek and pray for certain gifts. And I think that continues really well, that point of, you know, you may already have, you know, certain gifts, but you might pray for other gifts.
Right.
But again, God makes no guarantee that He will give any one particular gift, even if requested. So just an important thing to keep in mind, that again, the Spirit will discern. And, you know, we talked about it a lot even in our first session for this mini course. But again, this is determined, discerned by the Spirit. But we certainly may pray for certain gifts, but it is going to be up to God what gifts are given to us.
For sure. And then number 7, all the gifts are necessary for the maturity of the church. None may be jettisoned as non-essential. Indeed, those God honors most may be the least visible.
I really love that point because, you know, I think there's certain gifts that are maybe praised more or, you know, kind
easier
of
to identify.
Right, easier to identify. Or, you know, I think there's sometimes that feeling of like, oh, what's the best gift to receive? And so I think those are all kind of issues that may arise. And I think what's important here is to realize all the gifts are essential to the maturity of the church. And, you know, God really does honor humility and meekness. And, you know, we see that again and again in the Bible. And so if your gift isn't this maybe loud gift, but, you know, God will honor that gift too that you have. And so I think that's, again, an important point to have as we are digging into the gift.
Yeah, for sure. And I know personally with these points 6 and 7, you know, at a point in my life, I definitely was praying for maybe the louder gifts, the ones that would really strongly identify me as a Christian or as, you know, really gifted. And it can be frustrating when maybe he's not granting you the one either that you had in mind or any at all. And so I think
that's
that
really
is a great
point.
Perception to break down that, you know, God does honor all the gifts and even those that aren't visible or that we don't feel like maybe is the one we wanted.
Yeah, that's such a good point. And then there's a ranking of gifts, but the sequence is more of a chronology than a priority. Mm-hmm. And so apostles and prophets are foundational in the life of any church, and teachers then nurture young believers and newly planted congregations. Finally, all the rest of the gifts come into play. So it just speak about that, you know, some of the gifts maybe are dug into further in scripture or more, again, foundational to a church being able to exist. But again, it's important as I like that point 7 came up before point 8 of this, where, again, all of those gifts are necessary for the maturity of the church.
For sure. And then the final 9th principle there, no one gift is available to all Christians. Hence, no specific gift may be made a criterion of salvation, sanctification, or spiritual status. So that's a really great kind of justification for why, you know, what no one gift is greater than the other, because they are not what grants you those
traits. Right, because as it said, you know, not one gift may not be given to each person, and so it's important to, again, realize that, even going back to that diversity in the unity, and again, the uniqueness of each of our gifts, and so, yeah, I think all of those points are super important, but there's a couple more theological principles we wanted to touch in that, you know, continue as we look through the New Testament scripture on spiritual gifts.
For sure. So there is no exegetical warrant for claiming that any of the gifts have ceased. They are God's characteristic endowments for Christian service in the New Testament age, arguably the most fundamental way ministry occurs. So this kind of can be a common question of, well, in, you know, modern day, do any of these gifts still exist? Have some of them ended? And I think, you know, that is definitely a fair question. There are some that maybe aren't quite as evident or that we, you know, in modern day society aren't as in tune with. But that is a justification, you know, that we don't really have proof that any of these gifts have.
And so I think that it, you know, I think it's good to acknowledge that we continue to test gifts, especially some of the miraculous gifts. That point comes up a lot on, you know, tongues or healing and stuff like that. But I certainly believe that, again, none of those gifts have ceased, and they have been present all throughout Christian history and present today. And we've read many stories where they have been present, and I've witnessed it even in my own personal life. And so I certainly believe, and there is, once again, as it says, no warrant for claiming
for
that
sure.
any of them have ceased.
Yeah, so it is important to live with, you know, that benefit of the doubt, I would say. So 1 Corinthians 13 stresses that without love, spiritual gifts are worthless. And this is such an important overarching theme, even going back to, you know, those points 7 through 9, where, you know, love is kind of the water that makes these grow, these plants grow. And that, you know, when we have our gifts, practicing that with love and not, you know, looking down on other people's gifts or seeing them as less valuable, you know, it is a puzzle that all works together and we're stronger as a whole through this love. So that is something that really influences how we study these and how we, you know, apply what we're learning.
Well, and again, this chapter of Corinthians comes right after that one we just highlighted those points from, and so it starts with, you know, if I can speak in tongues and all these things, but I have not love, I'm just like a clinging symbol and all those different kind of things that come up. And so it's just so important as we continue to study these spiritual disciplines is that, you know, we may have certain gifts, but if we are not walking in the love of Christ and, you know, diligently seeking to love God with all our heart and love our neighbor as ourselves, these gifts will do nothing for the body and they will be worthless, as Paul says.
Mm-hmm. So also, no text enables us to determine the relation of spiritual gifts to natural talents or abilities. Scriptural examples suggest that some are given entirely de novo. For example, the prophets and tongue speakers in Acts 19, verse 6, while others build on a lifetime of divinely superintended preparation, as with Paul's apostleship, prepared for by his unique blend of Jewish, Greek, and Roman backgrounds. The Spirit must be given freedom to give his gifts any way that he desires. So my takeaway from that, I think, is that each person's path with their spiritual gifts and even with their earthly talents is different.
Right.
It's not a one size fits all for each mm-hmm. person. And that goes back to love. Some of us don't know what our spiritual gifts are yet. Some of us don't know how to utilize them. Some feel like they're changing. And that's really the Spirit just giving.
He has that freedom to give the gifts in the way he desires, whether it be intertwined with our natural, you know, abilities or even our personalities to an extent, or be it a blend of how we were raised or where we live and the community that we're in and the training that we've received. So I think that's even such a cool point of, you know, the educational background that Paul had, you know, as you're preparing here at Christian Leaders, you know, your spiritual gifts may be being enhanced or changed. And again, that's all as the Spirit wills and gives.
And God did not give gifts to believers in the Old Testament, but the gifts of the Spirit did not happen till after the Pentecost. So I'm glad we added in that point, because I was kind of saying to Abby before this, you know, were spiritual gifts something of the Old Testament? Did that kind of hinge on the pouring out of the Holy Spirit? So yeah, we see, you know, some Old Testament figures who maybe were gifted spiritual gifts directly from God.
You know, even, like Elijah, the prophet Elijah is doing healing and miracles and all these things. But, you know, the gifts of the Spirit as we have in the New Testament were not present in the Old Testament. They were prophesied about by some prophets.
Okay, so that was pretty rich, a lot to dive into there, so some time to digest with reflection questions. So what theological thoughts have you had about spiritual gifts that were highlighted in this presentation? Maybe questions answered, maybe other questions that it raised.
Another point, it might be another question is, what theological questions do you still have about spiritual gifts that we're not addressing in this presentation? So those are some thoughts to kind of think about here. You know, again, like I think both of us, as we were putting this together, had different kind of thoughts that might have been weighing on us theologically about spiritual gifts. And so, again, we kind of picked the ones that really were sticking out to us, but there's many other points to be made, or even furthering of the points that we made in this presentation.
Yeah, absolutely. We can kind of add some more resources in to read different perspectives and different approaches. But yeah, that second question is really interesting too. What do you think is the role of spiritual gifts in today's context? And I think that is kind of a recurring question we've seen where, okay, you know, we see these kind of laid out in the Bible in this way, but what does that maybe look like in modern times? Have those gifts changed? Has the manifestation changed? I think there can be a lot of doubts and questions.
And even in your own culture and context, it might look different than, again, what we've seen as spiritual gifts in the church here. And so I just think there's a lot of interesting, you know, thoughts and responses that could be received on that idea of what you believe the roles are in today's context.
Yeah, so we can't wait to see your responses on those. And then next week, you know, we've been talking a lot about definitions and what the biblical, you know, view is of spiritual gifts. But next week we'll kind of dive into the different types of spiritual gifts as outlined in the Bible, maybe some examples of those. And I think this will be a really helpful conversation moving forward and helping my understanding, helping our understanding of what those spiritual gifts actually look like.